They say that a smooth sea has never made a skilled sailor. The odds were stacked against Jason Somchai in life, growing up without a father, being raised by his immigrant grandparents, and finding his way into the juvenile justice system. It was through the tumultuous seas of his youth that he discovered his anchor, martial arts. After being introduced to MMA by an uncle, Jason would rise through the South Florida amateur circuits, and in 2012, made his professional debut. His journey as an athlete in person would come full circle when in 2024, he traveled to Laos and Thailand, reconnecting with his heritage, visiting the grave of a father that he never knew, embracing the spiritual side of Muay Thai, and learning that, at 37, his life was only beginning.
But believe it or not, I did actually kind of move here to South Florida to become an actor. I did some acting up in Nebraska. I used to do musicals. Okay. When I was in a juvenile detention, I had to go to a school where it was just, you know, a white school. I graduated a class of like 12 people, but I did musicals. I did like Broadway musicals and stuff like that. So I learned how to like kind of be an actor and stuff like that. Kind of kept that little trade in my back pocket, just like all the other little trades of my sports and my wrestling and stuff like that. I just had a little trade in my back pocket. But I came down here to South Florida, took a shot in the dark, became a fighter. And because of me becoming an MMA in the MMA culture, I was able to like get myself into a TV show. That TV show was called Burn Notice on USA Network. So I was able to be okay. on one of the seasons of the show on season 5.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of C4 Podcast, Southeast Asian Athlete Achievement Through Adversity. My name is Coach Andetka. I'm here with my co-host John Messina. If you guys haven't already, please like, share, subscribe on our YouTube, on our Facebook, Lao American Sports on Instagram. We have a great guest coming on today. Excited for him to come on. If you guys know of anybody, any athlete that you would like to nominate or see come on that has a great story, please message us on either our Facebook page or on Instagram. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to let my co-host John introduce our guests.
Yeah. So before we get into that, I'll make a couple announcements. Just want to remind everybody our nonprofit Lao International Sports NFP is up and running. We've got our target on the 2025 SEA Games in Cambodia, bringing a great contingent of athletes over there to represent Laos. Check out the webpage, laoamericansports.com/LIS. You'll see with what we're doing. If you're an elite level, internationally competitive athlete that might be interested in representing Laos, check out the website, reach out to us. We can walk you through the process, let you know what the qualification is, all of that. And then any support, there's a donation page on there. Laos has a very limited budget. I know it's still about 2 years out, but we're going to start to raise funds to try to put a little fund together to help these athletes that want to go over there to Thailand and compete to represent their ancestral homeland in the SEA Games. So that's exciting. Big things to come on that. So with that, we have today Mr. Jason Somchai. He's actually just back from Thailand. So this is going to be a really cool interview. We've been following him for a few years here and had him kind of on the list to get on. And we're excited that we made it happen right as he's getting back from Thailand. Jason, so welcome to the show. Why don't you start off at the beginning? I know you trace your own family heritage back to Laos and to Thailand. Tell us what you know about your family's origins there and coming to the U.S.
From what I know, because I was raised more on my grandmother and my mother's side, so they're from Vientiane, from a little area called Tangon, it's a little rural area on the outside of that little city. I didn't even realize that Vientiane was actually that small. I actually thought it was going to be big, you know, but my grandmother, my mother, everybody, they're all from Tangon, that little area over there. So, I mean, from what I know, I mean, they moved over there after the war. They crossed the river and waited at the refugee camp until it was time to go. So,
yeah, so that's in Vientiane Prefecture. Sort of the countryside outside the city. And Owen Pomavong Scoggins is from there. She's a pro disc golf player we had on. So you're the second guest from that tiny little town to make it on the show here. So
a little tiny little area, man. So I mean, it was good to actually kind of go visit there a little bit, to go kind of see where my grandmother is from. You know, that's deep. You know what I mean? And just me chasing after it alone a little bit. So it was like, it was really, really like a blessing moment for me. So
this was your first time?
Yeah, first time, man. I mean, I'm originally from, you know, born and raised in Nebraska, you know, Tecumseh, Nebraska. I'm a small town boy, literally a small town boy. Just put a cowboy hat on me, you won't see me any different.
Yeah, we're from the Midwest too, man. You know, Illinois, we got our cornfields and all that. So yeah, tell us about it. When, you know, when you were born, what year, brothers and sisters.
Okay. I was born and raised in Nebraska. I family basically got sponsored and got migrated over there during the 80s and 90s when like Campbell's soup was around, like the big old chicken plants and stuff like that. I was raised in that little small town and still had a Laotian community because that's where most of the Laotian people got migrated to. So we still had a little Laotian community and I was still able to grow up traditionally. And that's something that I'm blessed to have had in my life is being able to be, you know, grow up that way a little bit, you know, didn't lose so much track of everything of my heritage and my roots, you know what I mean? So just coming back from Thailand and Laos, man, just knowing that I should never take it for granted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nice. Cool. Yeah, there's actually fairly large Lao communities out there in the plains because of all the food processing, right? There were jobs back in the 70s and 80s, slaughterhouses, chicken houses, like I said, food processing, soup factories, you name it, man. Jobs brought the people to the great place.
for the American way, man.
Yep. Well, so you're growing up out there, but how did you get into martial arts?
Okay. Martial arts, man. I mean, I grew up watching martial arts. I mean, any Asian kid would watch it, you know, martial art movies. So, you know, that was in the intriguing like moments about it. But as I got into it, I was watching Channel 7 on Thai TV one day. And I remember me and my grandma, we were just watching and we were just, you know, when she was looking at people swinging elbows, she was like, and so I remember those little moments, man. It's the moments that me and my grandmother had together watching that, you know, like watching people like throw down and she's actually sitting here watching it with me on Thai TV. But then again, you know, having that little Thai TV channel, you're not going to get too many, you know, Thai channels anyway. So it was either fighting or she, you know, don't want, you know, watch Thai TV and she's going to watch whatever's on there, even the commercials.
Yeah.
So there's just moments that me and my grandmother just watched it together. So, I mean, I kind of enjoy that part. And then I end up getting into martial arts when my mom took me to a Taekwondo class one day. And that's when I finally got in, you know, into punching and kicking a lot more and hitting little pads and stuff here and there. And then that's probably like the most I've got into it.
How old were you?
I was probably, I want to say 10, 11 years old. And I remember it was a mall storefront. And that's, you know, I was walking through and I'm like, Mom, I want to try that. I want to try that. And she ended up putting me in for like a month one day. And then I just, you know, kind of enjoyed it. And that was when I was a younger then. But then as I gotten older, I got into martial arts a little late. You know what I mean? I got martial arts a little late, probably around 24, 25 when I started fighting, actually. So let's go back real quick. I mean, when I was growing up in Nebraska, I grew up as a wrestler. You know what I mean? Being in that small town, you know, you grow up that getting into sports, in high school sports and just doing whatever you can to kind of take up your time and doing whatever you can, whatever your parents tell you to do, because they want you to kind of like, you know, try to adapt to the environment, you know, go hang out with the kids in the public schools and, you know, just do your best and be a kid and make it normal, you know?
Yeah. So it sounds like it was kind of casual when you were a kid, wrestling, Taekwondo. And then in your 20s, it's when you started getting big time serious. Is that what happened?
Yeah. When I, I was already wrestling, so I mean, I took a shot in the dark because I already had this little, background of doing a little bit of martial arts in my in when I was younger, and me being able to get part of like a wrestling program. I was wrestling a little bit at a York State College for like a little
Oh.
like intern program, so I was able to kind of get some time in my later years with, a little bit of a competitor's edge a little bit. So when I got here to Florida, my uncle, he was already like doing MMA. He was doing MMA here and there, and then he started getting into it really, really deep. 2005, became a pro fighter, and then I just kind of started like, trailing behind him on that one. And then got
Wow.
into my
So
first fight.
your uncle's a pro MMA fighter?
Yeah, my uncle's a pro MMA fighter as well. Yeah. He jumped into it. He jumped into it late also. It's just that, thankfully I was right behind him, and I'm like, hey, I'll try it along with you, uncle.
Yeah. What's his name so we
Nice.
give him a shout out?
Bunmi Somchai. Bunmi.
Bunmi
Bunmi,
Somchai. All right. MMA
yeah.
fighter.
Yeah, MMA
Well,
fighter.
that's rare, man. That's rare to hear, especially at that time, right? We're talking early 2000s.
Yeah,
Yeah.
early 2000s. And
Wow.
now
What
when
organization did you turn pro in?
he turned on, it was just a bunch of local Florida organizations. They have different promotions and stuff like that, but he went pro, so over here in like Florida, the Florida state.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
And that's where I went pro as well. I went pro in 2012, but my first fight was in 2007, like first like real fight. I jumped into my first MMA fight, not knowing what to do. I was just a wrestler, took a shot in the dark. But then again, I took a shot in the dark and knocked him out in 17 seconds, and then my life changed ever since.
Wow.
So yeah, really, it was just out there, threw a Superman punch. Watch so George St. Pierre on UFC, and I just tried it one day, and then all of a sudden my life changed ever since that. So it was crazy.
Yeah, so that caught the attention of the different promotions and things. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it caught the attention of every promotion actually down here in South Florida, especially in
Okay.
South Florida, because they're always looking for fighters, and it's a very, very big mecca for like MMA. A lot of mixed martial arts down here in South Florida. So like, you got here big teams like American Top Team and Kill Cliff and stuff like that. So a lot of UFC fighters come from South Florida.
Yeah, well, Andre Sukumtat even moved down there
Yeah,
because he wasn't quite
absolutely.
getting the
Yep,
training
yep.
in Rhode Island, right? So, like you said, there was an ecosystem that you got to
Yeah,
be in
yeah,
down
yeah. He
there.
came down here. Yeah, me and him, we linked up and got to the right gyms and stuff like that. So we kind of crossed paths in the big pro gyms as well. So yeah,
Cool.
man, we both stayed out there, man. It's just that's what's good to know when you have somebody in that type of, that type of background that's out there doing it too. So you're not alone. You know what I mean? And that's kind of also another comforting fact is that, you're not alone. I mean, hey, we're out here, we're doing it. So just like I wanted to be on this platform, it's great, man. You guys are out here doing that. I want to be part of it. So it's always great to be part of something that's great. You know what I mean? That's how greatness goes around. So I just want to pass on good things to other people because good things have only happened to me because I've been a good person. So I've been a fighter, and but the one main thing I really love about fighting is being a coach, being a teacher, being a developer, and just guiding people, man. I mean, throughout my life, I never really, really got the guidance like I wanted to, but being able to grow up and kind of humbled through this sport and through everything, I was able to kind of take it all in and chip it out
That's awesome.
per se.
Yeah, it's
So
a process of giving back. You know,
yeah,
we
man.
spend our early years like we're so selfish and we're just thinking about us. You know, and I want to win this, win that, be this, be that. And I'll be honest, man, it's more rewarding to coach and to give back and to watch someone else, you know, succeed. You know,
Oh yeah.
so it's definitely that giving back part. I mean, it keeps us alive too, you know, because our bodies. We can only go on for so long, right? Before we break down somebody, sometimes through injury, sometimes just age itself. Sometimes it's just like family obligations, but then like, you know, we keep going, and we live vicariously through our students. Yeah, so.
Yeah, my students, they drive me, man. It comes off of reflection, you know. I mean, you're around each other every day, it only reflects off of each other. So I mean, I'm at the
Yeah.
gym every day, every morning, every night. I'm always at the gym. My fighters are always working, so it's good. It's good to be watching people that have grown up and also hold themselves accountable when it comes to real fighting. real fighting sports. And so it's good to be able to be part of that. Like, I taught them a lot. Now they know how to keep up with themselves, and now they can only get better.
Yeah.
So it's good, man. It's good. So it's a good thing to know.
Take us through your pro career. So you went pro back in 2012. Tell us a little bit about some of your proudest moments, some of the promotions you fought under.
Okay. So, before 2012, I was an amateur, you know what I mean? I was just doing things just here and there. My uncle, he was just like, "Hey, Jason, you should try this. You should try that." And I just, all right, I guess I'll, don't really do much. You just, you know, your uncle's telling you, "Hey, you should do this." Yeah. Okay. Let me try it. So, I got through a couple of fights. 2012, I went pro, went through a promotion and, just, took a shot in the dark, really, man. I mean, I trained for a good solid month. I should have been training a little bit longer, but I mean, it's pro career. You know, you're making a bigger check, and you're going out there and just taking that chance. 2012 came a pro, started making a little bit of noise for myself and started coming up in the rankings a little bit with the MMA culture. So I did a lot of MMA. Right now I am into more Muay Thai now, but, I used to do MMA. So since I was growing up as a wrestler, I took that to my advantage and always just applied it to my Muay Thai. So that's why I've always kind of been able to kind of keep up in this MMA world. So, my proudest moment is probably me knocking out the guy in like 17 seconds on my first fight. I got a title on a 3-man tournament that I fought twice in a day. That was a good one. That was a good one. I mean, I did that in Pensacola. Let's see. It's great, man. That's the reason why I do these crazy things, is because you know, you take a chance and crazy things happen. You know, even me, I don't really do jiu-jitsu much anymore, but I'll sign myself up in a tournament just to go roll. You know what I mean? So I'll do a new breed tournament. I'll roll with the guys, no training, still go in there and win first place. You know what I mean? Just testing myself and just being able to do that. So, a lot of proud moments, man, but I'd say the overall proudest moment is just being able to have a group of fighters. And this sort of cycles around all the time, but when I have like a big group of fighters, like 8 fighters, they all fight in the same night and they all come out victorious. Now that's a proud moment for me. You know what I mean? That just recently happened. I just got back from Thailand. My fighters all fought that same night, 8 fighters. They all won. So I would say that'd probably be the biggest proud moment, man. And I just got back from Thailand. These guys held themselves accountable. I taught them everything else, but they held themselves accountable. And so, I mean, that's overall a good thing.
So just were these fighters from the U.S. that you brought over with you to fight?
No, these are fighters from the U.S. They're actually training and staying ready and getting ready and doing their own thing over here while I was over there for the past 2 months.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Oh, so the tournament was here in the U.S., not in Thailand.
Yes, yes. Yeah. As soon as I landed, I was already cornering them. Like I had to get to the fight right away. It was that same exact day I landed, so I didn't want to miss it. But they did great. All of them won, and it really shows, man. The hard work shows, and obviously the guidance shows. So, you know, and it's great to be part of that. You know, so.
So with that, I mean, I know you still fight, but you also have a business, coaching and training. Tell us about that, how you started that and what you're doing.
Okay. Morally, I teach every morning, every day. I teach at a very renowned gym over here in South Florida. It's called Florida Kickboxing Academy. We got all pro fighters, all pro, you know, just high top tier guys. And I have to be, you know, one of the head coaches over there. So I have, personal training, ethics, and I have fighter development ethics and stuff like that. So I do a whole lot of like just, you know, guiding the person from the ground up. I have overall 27 champion fighters. We have over 175 students at our gym, and everybody is all morally all want to be a fighter. So yeah, man, I'm more of a personal trainer. I really like to do my best and try to develop somebody, you know, individually, one-on-one. And it's really good to watch because you got to really, really get in depth and in tune into the individual themselves. So personal training in this coaching field that I do, like I said earlier, reflects.
Yeah,
and reflects. So I can only get better myself if I can make you better. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things reflects so right back.
Anybody on. Either in the UFC or one championship or heading to one of those two promotions, those are our two favorite promotions.
Okay. So with that being said, my good buddy that we work at the gym together, we're both two of the head coaches at the gym, Florida Kickboxing Academy. He is actually a 1FC fighter, Asa Tenpao. So yes, Asa Tenpao, he's top tier, top class, top class fighter, and it's great to be around, you know, just hardworking individuals like that every day and every night, actually. So every day, every night, we're around each other for, you know, but we're both teaching. I mean, this gentleman is helping the growth of all our students together. Like, so it's really cool, man. It's really cool to watch. We're both like really enjoying just the fact that we're coaching people and they're actually getting themselves better.
Well, cool. Well, yeah. So, you know, we were excited to have you on. The timing worked out great, Jason, because I know you made this sort of, from a personal standpoint, from a martial arts standpoint, this big trip over to Thailand and Laos. Why don't you tell us about that? Because it feels like it kind of rounded out your career here, right? And your life, maybe. So.
Yeah, no. Let's just say, man, if it wasn't for martial arts, I would never figure things out. You know, like I would have never figured things out if I would never got into martial arts, if I would never just took a chance. So because of the martial arts and I got really, really influenced with Muay Thai and stuff like that, I ended up going to Southeast Asia. I wanted to go visit Southeast Asia for the first time. None of my family has ever been back. You know what I mean? And it was just something that my fiance always had on our bucket list. And you know, when you have a female by you, and it's always going to kind of get that, you know, right there. So it was always something that constantly popped up. Hey, we got to go here. We should try that. No, if you want to try to take your career up the next level, you should go there. So my fiance, she's one of the most, you know, empowering women to help me like kind of get myself into the right headspace where I end up going to the country and my roots where I'm from. And just wanted to know more, wanted to learn more. As soon as I got into Laos, I wanted to know more about my family. Not just, hey, this is where they're from. No, I needed to know more. I needed to dig deeper a little bit. Took a shot in the dark. I found a picture of my dad. I found a picture of my dad on my Google photos. And so I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm here right now. Let me check this out. Let me post this up on this Laotian refugee thing on Facebook. And yeah, man, I found more information on my father.
For those that don't know, you did not grow up with your biological dad, right? He was not in the picture, right?
No, he was not in the picture. I was like I said earlier, I was raised by my grandparents. So yeah, I was raised very traditionally, learning the language, eating the tamaghungs and overridden padaks and singtais and singkoks and, you know, all of that, man. So I grew up the old school way, you know, didn't get to eat a sandwich, you know, there wasn't no tuna sandwiches around. Lunch hour was taking chicken and some sticky rice to school. So
yeah. So you had never met him, right? You never met him, right? Is that what it is?
No. Yeah, never. I never met my father. I just heard little hear stories here and there about him, but I never met him. I think right after I was born, he was already gone.
Okay. Yeah. So is he still over there in Southeast Asia? Do you know?
Or he's unfortunately he had passed away in 1994.
Oh, okay.
But being able to kind of get that information, like, you know, that it just kind of put a little closure for everything that I was kind of chasing a little bit. I don't know, man, martial arts, man, it really, really kind of led me to really, really kind of figure things out for myself.
Yeah.
It really kind of brought things all together. So, it's a crazy story when me going visit my trying to find my father. So I mean, I went to Thailand, like right over that bridge. There's another city called Nong Khai.
Yep.
Nong Khai. Yep. Right over that friendly bridge, we crossed that thing. It takes all day to cross that thing.
Friendship bridge.
Yeah, the friendship bridge. I found out more information on my father on Facebook. Basically, I posted up, "Hey, I'm looking for my father. If anybody has any information, it'd be grateful, you know." And all of a sudden, the next day, when I woke up, it was different. It was different time zones now. So everybody in America just, yeah. So everybody just starts flood, like right as soon as I wake up, my messenger and everything just started flooding with, "Hey, I think your dad's my dad. Hey, your stepdad is my mom. Hey, your mom, my mom was your dad's wife." And I'm like, whoa.
Whoa, that's
So also, yeah,
crazy.
I just started
That's
getting hit with
crazy.
these messages, and I was like, "Whoa, are you serious? Are you sure? Are you serious?" And then they're like, "Yeah, who you're talking to right there is my sister. Who you're talking to there is my brother." And I'm like, "Oh, how do you know?" I didn't know how to get my mind around it. I didn't know how to wrap my mind around it. It's crazy, but
That's big.
I just had to get more stories, and they just told me more information. So I went over there to try to find. I end up talking to my biological father's last wife. She ended up sending me the death certificate and all that stuff. So I got the full closure that I needed.
Did you get to meet these people that connected through Facebook? Like when you were in Vientiane, did you get to, meet them, have lunch or something or anything like that?
You know, the thing is that since I just got back from Laos and Thailand, they actually live in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, okay.
I have three new blood brothers that live in Fort Worth,
Wow.
Texas. I just found out that my dad, he may have passed away, but I just gained three new brothers. You know what I mean? And they're younger, so they're younger. So I'm big brother. So they need to know
You'd
that.
be big bro. That's
I'm
awesome.
big though now. Big bro's a fighter. But yeah, I got three new brothers now. But since I just got back from Thailand and Laos, I haven't got the chance to visit them yet. And with Lao New Year around the corner, why not go to Texas to go visit,
Oh
huh?
yeah, Saginaw, right? That big one.
Yeah, I might as well go, you know. I might as well go check it out. Right around the corner. So I mean, yeah, I'm gonna go. I told him that I'd probably visit them within the next month or so. So I gotta make time for that. If I have family out there, man, I have to go indulge in it, man. I have to go, you know,
For sure.
feel the vibes, man. I mean, the universe only led me to that point where I was at, you know, in Thailand and Asia, you know. So the ironic thing is that on the death birth certificate, on the death certificate, I'm sorry, the death certificate, my dad, he died at 37 years old. It says lung cancer, 37 years old. He died at 37 years old around December the 15th or something like that. The ironic thing is that I landed in Bangkok, Thailand on my 37th birthday. And me landing there on my 37th birthday, it's the same week that he passed away. So, you know, that these are just signs or something, man. It just lets me know that, hey, man, he may have passed, but I have a life to live. So
It's
I just wanna.
almost, it's like 37 was the end for him, but 37 is a new beginning for you, right? With this family you didn't even know you have, all, these siblings, and
I know, man. That's why it's so hard to wrap my head around this, man. And just, you know, I just got back home, man. I'm just like, man, how do I take this all in? I mean, I got all this information while I was over there, and now I'm here. But you know, I got three new brothers now. I mean, I can't be any more grateful than that. I have extra family now. But I mean, I don't want to give any Christmas presents or anything. But you know, extra family. You know, I got more brothers.
Yeah, that's cool. This will be a very special Lao New Year for you. It's big down there, but this will make it even bigger,
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's ironic, man. It's really ironic how that all like raveled out to be, because you know, universe only leads you where you're supposed to be. And that just happened to be right where I was supposed to be, you know. And I only went over there to just go, you know, take a little vacay, enjoy myself, try to learn more about myself in a sense, because I wanted to get into my Muay Thai a little bit more. And then all of a sudden I'm out there trying, you know, doing a little, trying to have daddy issues, trying to find my dad, you know what I mean? Trying to figure that all out. But
So were you able to train and fight over there a little bit or spar around
yeah,
with locals?
Yeah, absolutely.
How was that? How was that?
Oh, that was great and hard all at the same time. But it's what you kind of do to you got to adapt into that environment to kind of really, really build that mindset. You know, over there in Laos and Thailand, I mean, this is the way of life for them. It's the way of life. Like, and for me being, you know, raised in America and learning about the sport kind of essentially on my own, you know what I mean? And understanding the tradition and the culture of the white crew and the dance and stuff like that. It is the way of life over there for everybody. I mean, they fight for the money and they only fight for a little bit of money. Trust me, I know, because it was only a little bit of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have it somewhere around here.
Yeah, well, the whole pay scale is different, right? I mean, over
oh,
there.
Yeah. The whole pay scale. Yeah, like, it's probably the cheapest I've ever fought for. Literally yeah. $50.
Yeah. You weren't doing it for the money, though, right? It was for
no,
the
absolutely
experience.
Not. Absolutely not.
You know,
absolutely
be,
not.
To be a like true Muay Thai fighter in Thailand or Muay Lao fighter in Laos.
I know, but they make these and yeah. they take it, give it back to the family. They give yep. it back to the family. It's yep. and that is
what is that? Lao Geep?
Yeah, Geeps and Geeps and Thai bots. Yeah. They have fights all over Southeast Asia, and that's what's amazing, you know what I mean? And it's the way of life. It's human cockfighting, and they're getting paid for gambling and people to gamble on them and stuff like that. So it's different.
Yeah. How would you compare the talent that you saw over there versus the talent that you saw here in the U.S.? How would you compare it?
I mean, that's a kind of a gray area because the styles are very different. Let's say that the style is very different. You know, over here in the Western states, we tend to box a little bit more. We tend to be on our toes a little bit, kind of spring steppy. Muay Thai, they're just kind of like calm, cool, and collective. So, yeah. But the level is high class level over there in Thailand because they kick a lot. They kick a lot. It's just that when you can get your hand on somebody's chin, your kicking doesn't matter anymore. That's why in 1FC with the guys with the small gloves, man, if I can lick you with one good glove, you ain't gonna kick me no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yes, in Thailand, it's really high class like level when it comes to Muay Thai versus Muay Thai. But if you get your average like heavy handed kickboxer or something like that, he's more than likely going to get his hands on the Muay Thai guy more than the Muay Thai guy is going to get his hands
that,
on
that
him.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, but yes, the level is. I mean, everybody out there in any sort of sports, they should be working hard. If you're in a sport, an athlete, you know what I mean, they have to put the time and effort into it. But like I said, it's just the style. The style is what makes the significant difference overall.
Well, so on your journey, man, what's next for you in the world of martial arts? What's the future hold?
Oh, man. Overall, man, I think, well, first, I guess I got to get married this year or something. Something like that.
That's important, man. That's important.
Man, yeah. Oh, man. I got to get, probably eventually get married here soon because I'm already engaged. I want to probably maybe get a few extra fights. Gotta get those. I mean, keep myself relevant in the game while I still have this now. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not getting too old. I'm only 37. I just turned 37, but I still have enough time to play and grind it out a little bit. Just sucks when you have to fight these kids, man. You know what I mean? When I was in Thailand, I had to fight like a kid. He was 23, 24 years old. I went all five rounds with him, but he was a Chinese champion. I took 2-day notice. I went 2-day notice to fight this kid too in Thailand. It was crazy. He was from China. He didn't speak a lick of English or anything. So I knew that he was just a hardworking Chinese guy that wanted to just rip my head off. And when I was, yeah. It was a great fight, man. I was able to handle myself and still put him, humbled him a little bit. So it's kind of good. But no, really, yeah, I'm just gonna get some more fights before I retire. I'm gonna keep on teaching and training people and keep on changing lives every day. I mean, that's the overall thing, man. We'll just keep on changing the lives that I am changing every day, being a part of it, and probably eventually, man, maybe probably open up my own gym. I mean, I've always been asked, hey, why don't you open your own gym? You're such a good, you know, you're so good at what you do and stuff like that. I just never wanted to open up my own gym because the freedom of getting around and, you know, just yep. I can be part of the fight world, you know, like I already am. Like I'm already, I do cut man work as well. I don't just coach. I don't just do that. I do cut man work like Bare Knuckle FC. You guys ever heard of that? I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those guys are leaking. Those guys are bleeding, leaking so bad. But yeah, I'm one of the cut men for that organization. So I actually do the cut man work and stuff like that. And I've been doing a lot of cut man work for MMA fights over here in South Florida. So I've been very, very involved in the martial arts community more than like almost 15 years, over 15 years already. Just being involved in from amateur fights to pro fights. But yeah, just freaking being a cut man. So I'm just gonna keep on doing the things that just keep me in the martial arts world. Like I said, relevancy and just keep myself fighting a little bit. Maybe about 43, 44, I'll probably slow it down. But I said I'll slow it down. yeah, man, just help people build confidence, man. Just help them know that there's a hump over the hill. There's a hump over the hill.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, don't let the age define you. Co, how old were you when you were on the Mr. Olympia stage in your 40s, right?
40 something. I turned pro when I was 43.
Yeah.
That's a long time to turn pro. Because I actually took some time off when my kids were born. You know, and actually when my kids were born, man, I thought like my career was over. It was like I was so depressed. You know, I was happy, but at the same time I was like really depressed. And you know, I focused on them, you know, once they grew up and they were big enough to, you know, just kind of do their own thing. I was like, man, why don't I start working out again and see what happens? And, you know, everything just came back, you know, so
yeah,
it worked out good.
That's kind of how I like felt when I went to Thailand. I mean, I got there and I'm like, do I really want to do this? You know what I mean? I stepped up like, you know, do I really want to do this? This is a moment and point in my life where I've been doing martial arts and all this and being influenced by Muay Thai and stuff like that, being in America. And now I'm all the way over here and I have to really, really tell myself, do I really want to do this? Because I was stepping up against a guy that had like 170 fights. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this? You know what I mean? Except, you know, do what I know. And being able to establish the point that and clarity that I do what I know and what I know is good enough to be over there. So I mean, I know that deep in my blood, in my lifeline, man, there was a fighter in me a long time ago. So yeah, man, just kind of pulled out and you know, persevered through certain things in that degree. So with you, man, like you said, you're getting older and you thought you were getting, you know, it was over. You still got right through it, man. You got right back to it, didn't you?
Yeah. Came back quick.
Exactly.
Yeah, on a lighter note, man, I was checking you out on Instagram and you had this dish. I don't know if it was in Thailand or Laos, but like there were jumping insects around in that bowl. Like, what was that?
Man.
That scared the shit out of me.
Like, I guess it's jumping shrimp. I mean, apparently I guess it's a big thing over there. It's a big, God. Like, you know, it's a good thing that they like to do out there. So as soon as I got over there, I have a friend that lives in Laos, and he's actually a Muay Thai fighter. He trains at one of the biggest renowned gyms in Thailand. And so I met up with him, and we've been talking online for like 3-4 years, but we just never got to meet each other. But I told him one day I'm going to come to Thailand and Laos and visit you. And yeah, man, we just had a good time, dinner. You know, he's like, what do you want to eat? And I just told him, I want to eat the craziest shit that you can bring out. And he brought out some jumping shrimp, and he brought out some lap lut, you know, really, really,
oh, bloody, man. For those that don't know, it's a bloody. It's the bloody.
It's super duck bloody.
Blood, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And with some duck blood too. Yeah, yeah. It was really. Yeah, man. My fiance didn't want me to eat that because she's like, I don't want you to eat that because you're gonna end up getting sick. You're gonna have bacteria in your stomach out here. We don't know this. We don't know this country, babe.
Right.
That's cool. Well, that's awesome, Jason. So if you had to give an advice to anybody who was pursuing some kind of dream like this, a young person, what would your advice be, man?
Oh, man. I mean, you lose 100% of the chances you don't take. You really do. You really do. I mean, you only need to take your step forward. You just take 1 foot. Just 1 foot, man. Take a step forward. Put yourself in a position where you're going to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's the overall thing, man. And just be a good person. I mean, obviously, overall, be a good person. Give, even if you have a little. Just being a good person overall. I mean, being a Laotian, you know, individual growing up with my family and them being Buddhism. And it was always about Dichai Mihang Mutsukun and give to everybody and just always, you know, have a kind heart. And I've always just tried to keep true to that. I've always tried to keep true to that. I mean, like I said earlier, I was raised by my grandparents. They took me to the temple all the time. But, you know, that got embedded into me. So I knew my roots growing up, even growing up.
You're fluent. You're fluent in Laos, right?
Yeah. Well, pasa Lao Dai King, that you. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's what was great when I went over to Thailand and Laos, is that they kept talking to me and telling me, hey, where are you from? You from Vientiane? And I'm like, no, man, I'm from America. And the thing is, the reason why is because the language.
They can tell by your accent.
Yeah. They can tell by your accent, but it has changed so much with the modern way over there in Southeast Asia. And then me learning from my grandmother and my family and alone only here in America. I'm over there speaking Hebrew to them. You know what I mean? They're like, wow, this is like pure forms language you're speaking to me. So I'm over there talking to them and they're like, you know, they're telling all these older gentlemen to come here, come and talk to this boy. Come over here, talk to him. Yeah, and I'm over there talking. Yeah, it was cool. I felt really, really appraised for just me being able to speak my language. And like I said earlier, I'm never going to take that for granted again. I'm glad my grandmother bitched at me when I was younger. You know what I mean? It really got the language got across, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. Awesome. Well, yeah, man, great story. We're so glad we had you on. We look forward to continuing to follow you, both your athletic journey and this new journey you're on with this newly discovered family and stuff.
Man, that's so crazy. I can't even wrap my head around it. Like I have three new brothers, man. I have three new brothers. Like, what a, and this is also an ironic story. My father, he was a police officer. He was also into Muay Thai. He did some Muay Thai also. He was also a naval swimmer. So some or something like that. And my brother, I have my younger brother, he's actually a police officer.
Oh, okay.
And I actually do Muay Thai. And so it's kind of there's something going on in the bloodline there. There's something going on in the bloodline.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know what else to say about that, but universe only leads us to the right place where we're supposed to be. So,
Well, cool. Well, this was awesome. Co, any last questions or parting words for Mr. Jason Somchai?
Let me see. Well, how many weeks did you spend back in Laos? Just curious.
How many weeks I spent in Laos?
Laos, Thailand, in that area.
Okay. Oh, 2 weeks. But then I was there for two months.
2 months.
Yeah, I stayed there for 2 months. It was a long. It was. I wanted to make the trip worth it because 1 month it seems like it's not even enough. Really, you get there, you still gotta get off the lag, and next thing you know, you get a little sick and stuff like that every once in a while because the air quality is kind of crap. So it was different. I remember my first like couple of weeks there, I got a little sick and stuff like that, and I wanted to fight, but I couldn't fight yet.
Yeah.
Were you mostly in Thailand or mostly in Laos or half and half? How did that?
I was mostly in Thailand, mostly in Thailand. I was in Laos for just like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. But as soon as I crossed over, I went to Nong Khai to go I went to the temple where my father is actually buried, or
Oh,
his urn.
man.
So
Wow.
that's another story of its own. When he did pass away, he passed away in 94. I went to the temple because I got the death certificate from my stepmom.
Yeah.
I got this death certificate, and it said for he's at Wat Pho in Nong Khai. This is his name. Put the son Ruang Tong, and that's his name. This is his like
What
surrogate.
is his name again? What was his first name?
Putasan.
Put the son
Putasan. It's my
Ruang
son's Lao name.
Putapon. I'm
Oh,
Putasan.
yeah, he put
Putasan
the
is my
son.
son's Lao name because my
Oh.
mother-in-law, yeah, because it rhymes with John. So my mother-in-law said Putasan Luk Tao John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
wow,
wow,
I
yeah.
didn't know that.
And you know,
Oh,
boy,
yeah,
Boy
Putasan.
Senharat, Boy Senharat, Co, his name is Putasan. He's a
Oh,
guy. He owns a
man.
bunch of restaurants around Fort Worth, Lao restaurants. We'll have to hook you up with some food down there,
So,
Jason. So,
what is that?
Putasan. Yeah.
PH, is it PHOOTHA and then son?
Phoutsan.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine's on
Puts. Okay. Yeah. He.
PHOO. Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, I got the death certificate, and it said Wat Pho and Wat Pho, and it was right over the bridge. It was right over the Friendly Bridge. So as soon as I went over there, I had to go wait at the bus station for a little while. So me and my fiance were like, you know what? Hey, the Wat is literally right here, walking distance. Let's walk over there. I literally walked over there. And I'm right there in front of my father's urn. I'm not even
Man.
5 feet o
Sheesh.
five. I'm not even 5 feet away from my own biological father. 37 years. 37 years. So that's
Yeah,
crazy
and
stuff.
that's great that you were able to find that closure, you know.
Yeah,
At the
man.
same time, you know, that story closes. Now you got a
Yeah,
brand new, like
now I
John
got
said,
it.
you know,
Yeah.
brand new beginning with your brothers, man. That's
I
crazy.
know. I tell you the truth. That's exactly how you said it, man. Like ever since I've been back, I just feel like I have a whole new life now. Like I feel like I have a whole new life. Like yes, I am doing what I do, and I do what I do best is teach and train people and change lives. But this is different now. This is really truly different. Like now I have like so much to live for, so much to work on, so much to build. You know what I mean? So. Just gonna try to better myself every day, man. That's it. That's all I can do for this one.
Yeah, I mean, these are the stories that our listeners love to hear about, right? I mean, it's not,
Yeah.
you know, it's not like this guy has won this many fights. He has this, you know, he's a champion here, champion there. I mean, you can get that off the internet, really. You know, you can look up somebody's information and find their win-loss record, their titles, all that stuff. But man, your story of going home, searching for your dad, finding him, and then now you got a brand new story with your, you know, younger siblings.
Yeah. But I mean, also, man, just like me growing up alone, like it was different. Like, you know, yes, I was raised like traditionally by my grandparents, but as my grandfather, I didn't get to say this earlier, but as my grandfather, he got sick and stuff like that. That's when I started getting to this rebellious stage. I ended up going to like
Yep.
juvenile detention for a few years when I was younger as
Wow.
well. So,
Wow.
yeah. But I'll tell you what, that's what shaped me up to be the person who I am today. I was able to kind of grow up in that American white community. So that's why I'm able to kind of like I can almost get redneck with it. Like I could really do it. Like I love country music. I mean, being raised in Nebraska, I'm over here in South Florida still going to country concerts.
So they call you a
You know
cawdang, cawdang.
what I mean? Yeah, Cawdang. Yeah,
Yeah,
man.
redneck.
Redneck.
Man. Well, cool. Yeah. Well, that's what the podcast's all about, Jason.
Yeah.
Obviously, the athletic career is phenomenal, and just we want people to see the person behind the athlete, because every athlete has a story behind them, man. So.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it, man. You guys really brought me on to tell my story, and it's just good to
Yeah, man. Thank
if
you.
I can
Thank you
be
for
part of
sharing.
something. Yeah, thank you, man, for
Yeah.
having me, man. It's just no, like I said, man, it's a new life that I'm living now. Like, you know what I mean? Just being able to be part of different things. I mean, like I said, take the chance and get on, you know what I mean? Open your
Yeah.
mouth, talk, you know what I mean? So
Hey Jason, where can our viewers follow you on social media? I'm sure everybody's gonna want to know about, we're waiting for pictures of you and your brothers, right? So
oh
where can they follow
yeah.
you?
They can follow me on Somchai_Muay Thai. It's gonna be Somchai with a Y. Unfortunately, it's supposed to be an I, but it's a Y. But somchai_muay thai. And yeah, you guys will probably also see me on YouTube as well. So just
All
type in the
right,
name
good.
Jason Somchai. They call me the Raging Asian. So Jason, the Raging Asian Somchai.
You saw that. And we'll put some links in the show notes, folks, if you need help finding those. But yeah, Jason. So folks, that kind of wraps up the interview today. Follow Jason. Also, follow us if you're not following us on Facebook, IG, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all of our platforms. We would appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Cope.
Hey guys, thank you for following us and listening to another episode of C4 Podcast. All right. Have a good one. Take care.
The C4 Podcast is brought to you by the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame. Visit us on the web at laoamericansports.com, celebrating the first, inspiring the next.